Hey, everybody. Welcome to the latest episode of the Tuesday Night Comics Podcast. We're going to be covering new comic books being released on Wednesday, January 29th, 2014. I'm Billy, and with me as always is Dave.
What's up, guys?
We are looking at the comics that we think are going to, that when you go to your comic book store this week, this is the comics that you should look out for. Why don't we start with what's coming out from DC? There are a couple of annuals that kind of are related to each other.
Yeah, we've got Earth 2 Annual Number 2 by Tom Taylor, which will be revealing the origin and secret identity of the new Earth 2 Batman.
Yeah, I've actually managed to avoid being spoiled about this, so I'm really looking forward to this annual. And I have to say, the first Earth 2 annual last year by James Robinson was really cool. So I'm glad that the Earth 2 is actually using their annuals to really tie into the storylines that are going on in the book.
Yeah, you know, I've been spoiled by it. DC released 4 Earth 2 action figures. It was Batman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and The Flash. And in the description for the action figures, they let you know who Batman was.
That's just terrible.
Yeah, they spoiled their own story. So I was a little bummed, but I'm still very interested to see, you know, obviously the same characters with that name on the regular DC Earth aren't the same people they are on Earth 2. So, you know, I'm really interested to see what that character is and how he came to be on Earth 2. So it's spoiled, but, you know, the story portion is really not spoiled. So I'm still really excited to see where Tom Taylor takes it.
Okay, and we're not going to spoil that here, though we will probably talk in depth about that issue next week once it's out.
Yes, yes. So spoiler alert for next week.
So, yeah, pick up Earth 2 Annual and read it if you're interested this week, because we will be talking about it next week. The other annual stems from the Earth 2 universe, because it's World's Finest Annual Number 2, which stars Power Girl and Huntress, who are actually the Earth 2 Supergirl and Robin, right?
Yeah, and the annual takes place back on Earth 2 5 years ago.
Right, so this
before they left during their battle with Apocalypse. And, it's written by Paul Levitz, and I really feel when Paul Levitz writes those characters as kids, they just shine. He's way better at that than writing them as Huntress and Power Girl.
That's interesting.
I don't know why. I don't know if it's art or whatever, but I remember, I think it was last week, I was telling you that that's what I was missing from his current books that he's been writing.
Right.
Flashback. So now I'm getting a whole annual of Flashback, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, Paul Levitz is a proven writer at DC. You know, right? He had a legendary run on Legion of Superheroes. I feel like his new 52 stuff just hasn't been hitting the mark for me. But maybe this will be the issue that turns it around for me.
Yeah, you and I were talking last weekend without any recording on about Dan Jurgens as a writer. And I think we were both talking about how he's just like a very serviceable writer. You know, he knows what he's doing. But, like, there's nothing that he does recently that I feel excites me. And I feel that way a little bit with Paul Levitz. You know, I think there's something to be said that maybe it's a style of comic book writing that, you know, was bigger back in the early 90s or the 80s or even the 70s when Paul was writing. But, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like Paul Levitz and Dan Jurgens, if they're writing characters that you like a lot, you're going to get an enjoyable series out of it. But unlike, say, a Rick Remender, where whatever character he jumps on, I'll probably give it a try, or a Jeff Johns.
Yeah, exactly.
If Levitz or Jurgens are writing a book, that's their name on the book isn't enough to get me to just, you know, jump into it.
Right, right.
Now, it's funny because if you go back to, like, 1994 and you told me Dan Jurgens was on a book, I was all over it.
Yeah, he'd be like, the creator of Zero Hour?
Yeah, the mastermind behind the death of Superman, I'm there.
And time and time again.
I loved his. There's one arc that he did on Superman. I think this is before Death of Superman with Brainiac and War World, which I.
Oh, that was Panic in the Skies.
Yes, Panic in the Sky. One of the coolest storylines come out of the 1990s. I definitely recommend any Superman fan who's never read that series to go go hunt down that trade.
Yeah, it's a hard to find trade. I had read pieces of it growing up, and I finally found it, I think, 2 years ago at Comic-Con. But I haven't checked, but I'm sure Comixology probably has those issues digitalized.
Mm. Now, skipping over to Image Comics, we've got Black Science number 3, which is one of the two new Rick Remender series at Image. And like I said a few minutes ago, I love Rick Remender. And this series has been absolutely awesome. It's a crazy sci-fi tale, very similar to the TV show Sliders, but less grounded in like the 20th or 21st century.
That sounds really cool. I loved Sliders when it was out on TV. But I mean, I fell off in later years when it jumped from like UPN to sci-fi. But right. I love the concept of that series. And I feel like anything where you're jumping worlds, kind of like Exiles or even the Booster Gold series, I just love those stories.
Yeah, Black Science, I would describe it as a mix between, say, Sliders and like a Doc Savage, because there's a lot of crazy monsters. It has a pulp science fiction aspect to it, and I think it's definitely worth checking out.
Wow, that sounds cool.
Also from Image, we have the second issue of James Robinson series Saviors. Now, you did not read Saviors number 1 yet, right?
No, I did not get a chance. I saw that it came out maybe like a couple weeks after it did, and I was like, I've been meaning to get to it, but now that issue 2's out, I think I'm going to buy them both at the same time. Get a really solid read out of the first two issues.
Yeah, it's a very cool story. I'm not going to spoil anything for you or for anyone who hasn't listened to it yet, or read it yet, I mean. But Jay Bone and James Robinson have been planning this series for a long time now, even back when James Robinson was just launching Earth 2. So it's cool that it's finally been released, and it's a very cool, almost like Twilight Zone-ish story.
Yeah, and Jay Bone's art is pretty awesome. So, you know, it's only going to enhance James Robinson's writing.
Yeah. Now, moving on to Marvel. I don't have much for Marvel this week. I'm not caught up on All New X-Men, so I'm not reading Trial of Phoenix, the crossover between Guardians of the Galaxy and All New X-Men. What I am reading, though, is Uncanny Avengers, part of my must read everything Rick Remender writes. This series has been great. Like if anyone has read Remender's Uncanny X-Force run and then did not pick up Uncanny Avengers, you need to pick up Uncanny Avengers. It is the direct continuation of his Uncanny X-Force.
Well, I haven't really read anything Rick Remender has ever written.
His Captain America didn't do it for me, but his Uncanny X-Force is like the highlight of any, you know, the high mark of any X-Force title ever.
Really?
Yeah. Now, I think they're coming out with an omnibus soon. It's definitely worth picking up. If they do a Rick Remender X-Force sale on Comixology, jump on top of that.
Wow. Yeah, Comixology has a sale today on the first Guardians of the Galaxy trade.
Yeah, it collects the first 7 issues, I believe, by Bendis and Steve McNiven. Only $7. It's a good deal.
Yeah, I jumped on it.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's my pick for Marvel this week is their sale.
Is their sale, and is that only running today or is that running through the weekend?
I'm not sure. Comixology is doing like this new thing where they have their top leaderboard ad
okay.
that they implemented maybe a month or two ago. I think it's all house ads because it's all promo codes. That if you click it, will automatically generate in your checkout.
Oh, interesting.
So that it's not like $20, you know. I think the promo code was like Groot or something.
Right. Yeah, and hopefully that sale is still going on when this podcast goes up. We're recording this on Saturday. Hopefully, if you guys hear this on Monday or Tuesday, that sale is still going on. Or hopefully you jumped on it with even out our mentioning it here. One thing that caught my eye that falls out of the big two or even the big three, if you want to count Image as a third major publisher, Boom is coming out with the Adventure Time 2014 Winter Special number one. Dave, do you watch Adventure Time?
I do not watch Adventure Time.
It's a lot of fun. It's on Netflix streaming. Each episode is about 11 minutes long. I definitely recommend watching it. But I also recommend picking up this comic because Boom's been doing possibly the best job of adapting licensed property to TV from TV to comic books with this series. I know people. I remember reading a review for an Adventure Time comic. I think on Comics Alliance, where it was on somebody's best of 2013 list, and it was because they were trying to remember this awesome Adventure Time episode they saw and went through all of Netflix, couldn't find it, and then realized it was actually from the Boom comic. And I think that has to be the highest praise possible for a licensed book, where you can't remember if you read it in the comic or if you saw it on the TV show. Know what I mean?
Yeah, because usually, I mean, like Doctor Who comics or Star Trek comics, I think maybe it's the art, but I feel like there's a definite downgrade when you jump over to the comics.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. Now, that kind of rounds out all of the books coming out this Wednesday for me. Do you have any other suggestions, Dave?
No, not at all. Okay. It's kind of a light week. It's that fifth week of the month, I think.
Ah, yeah. Now, I picked up, this is just going to be a Rick Remender theme episode, I guess. So I picked up Deadly Class, the first issue of the new Rick Remender series. Came out from Image this past week. It's been getting a lot of press, a lot of great reviews. And this is my pick of, if you did not pick this up at your comic book store last week, buy it this week. It is a really good book. Remender writes it, and the art is by Wes Craig. And his art is, I'd call it Paul Pope-esque. It looks kind of like Paul Pope, but he has his own style to it too. And it's a very cool first issue. For $3.50, you get 29 pages of story, and which is almost like a bargain these days compared to spending $4 for a 20-page DC or Marvel book.
Yeah, definitely.
It takes place in 1987 in San Francisco. And the first issue focuses on this homeless kid, and basically he enters this, I don't want to give away the twist, but there is almost like a Neil Gaiman Neverwhere, you know, Twilight Zone-ish esque twist where the world around him opens up in a completely unexpected way. And the twist ending definitely has me excited for the second issue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
This week I only read one comic, and that was New Invaders.
How'd you like it? I actually haven't got a chance to read it yet.
It's a really solid start. He's toying like James Robinson does with Golden Age characters so well. He's kind of toying with the past a little bit, makes it relevant to the present, and a really big focus on the Human Torch.
So are we going to be introduced to the Human Torch's son, who's a reluctant hero and only takes over when the Human Torch dies?
I'm missing the joke.
Making a Starman joke.
Okay, because my serious comic brain's like, I don't think he has a son. He's an android, Billy.
Yeah, my bad. Never make jokes about Starman, sir.
But yeah, it was a really good issue. I'm definitely going to be picking up the second issue.
Nice.
May maybe when the price drops from that $3.99 price point.
Yeah, unfortunately, Marvel with their digital stuff, it's a while before they drop the price. It's not like other companies who do it in a month or 6 weeks like DC does.
Yeah, DC does like the 2 to 3 month, which is, you know, all right.
Yeah.
But I also got caught up on, I read Matt Fraction's Defenders. I finished reading that.
You've been on a Fraction kick lately. You read his Thor and now his Defenders.
Yeah, it was okay. There was a high point in the middle and then I kind of floundered. Mm. It seemed like a big idea that just didn't really, wasn't there in the execution for me.
All right. Yeah, as a follow-up to, well, and a lot of it was a follow-up to his Thor run into Fear Itself, the crossover that he helmed.
Yeah, it didn't even feel like that. I mean, there was a lot that tied back into his Iron Fist run.
Oh, that's cool.
But it just, like, it read like, kind of like, like, by the end, it reminded me of Doctor Who.
Interesting.
In the way where he would, you know, like, in Doctor Who, by the end of the season, it's like, okay, this happened, and this happened, and this happened because of this.
Right.
Which is an overarching thing that, like, you know, makes you think differently about the universe.
Right.
In general. It's a good, like, twist and oh, like, you know, kind of like the silence where you're like, oh, that's why that all works together. So it's kind of like that, but I would say it's not as well executed as that. It had that feel.
Yeah.
But you know, it was definitely interesting. As far as comics go, when you read it or any story, like, I'd rather be reading an interesting thing that wasn't executed well than a boring thing that was executed well.
Yeah, I've read a few issues of his Defenders run. What I really liked was the jokes that he put in on the bottom of the pages. I thought those, harkening back to 1970s comics when it would say, you know, story continued after like two pages, but he would put jokes down there.
Yeah, I enjoyed them the first couple issues, and then at some point, I found it slightly distracting. Like, I don't know, maybe it was like, I got the joke.
Yeah. So if somebody had read Fraction's Iron Fist series, would you recommend Defenders to them?
No.
Oh, okay, wow. So that's a don't buy, in the words of Jim Cramer.
I just wouldn't, because it doesn't read the same way.
Yeah, and it's crazy. It's crazy because he's just killing on Hawkeye right now.
Yeah, and you know, I would recommend Hawkeye if you liked Iron Fist.
Oh, definitely.
His Defenders is such a different vibe. He used some of the same, you know, characters, some of the immortal weapons and stuff like that. Yeah, it didn't have the same feel. And I mean, Brubaker was also writing Iron Fist with him. Mm. So I don't know how much influence he had in all of that.
All right. Now, that brings us to last week's comics. Now, what's going to be our bonus topic this week, Dave?
Well, I listened to Kevin Smith's podcast, Batman on Batman.
Okay.
It's a sporadic podcast that comes out maybe once a month, maybe less than that, whenever he has a guest and he talks about Batman. And this episode, he brought on Mark Tyler Nobleman.
Who's that?
And Mark Tyler Nobleman wrote an illustrated book with Ty Templeton about Bill Finger, as the title of his book is called, Bill the Boy Wonder, the secret co-creator of Batman. And the whole conversation was very interesting because, you know, they were talking about, you know, how much the person we know as the creator of Batman, Bob Kane, was actually involved in the creation of Batman. You know, he came up with the name Batman.
Okay.
But
Bob Kane.
Yeah. What?
Bob Kane came up with the name Batman.
Yes.
Okay.
And he had a sketch that was looked very much like the Red Raven character in Golden Age Marvel. Red suit, wings.
Yeah, almost like a Flash Gordon with bat wings.
Exactly. And so whatchamacallit, Bill Finger went in, retooled it. He pretty much wrote most of, I think, the first issue, or I think that's what they're saying. And he coined things like the Dark Knight. Like, that's something he came up with. He came up with the look of Batman. He came up with, I think he came up with Robin. I think he co-created the Joker. Any of the major villains, he created Gotham City. Like, that's, he named the city Gotham. So, like, most of the, he created the origin where, you know, his parents were killed outside a movie theater.
And so, even though if you watch any Batman TV show or movie, the credits will always say Batman created by Bob Kane, it sounds like it's actually Bill Finger who created most of what you would associate with Batman.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Everything so, other than the name.
So the book isn't saying that Bob Kane has nothing to do with it. They're just asserting that, you know, give Bill Finger his fair shake.
Right.
And so Mark Colin Nobleman is currently trying to get a Google Doodle this year on February 8th in honor of Bill Finger's 100th birthday. And it's also Batman's 75th anniversary.
Mm.
Just kind of to bring awareness of what this guy did, because I mean, I don't think he, when he passed away, I don't think he was very rich, or, you know, he didn't get any money from any of his creations. Meanwhile, Bob Kane was, like, I think a millionaire, especially around the 1960s, because he did get, like, paid from the Batman stuff that he created.
Oh, yeah.
When that Bill Dozier series came out, I think he kind of raked in a bit of cash. I mean, good for him, but, you know. So Mark Colin Nobleman is trying to get people to write to Google in an email, proposals@google.com, saying, hey, you know, shine a light on this guy.
Yeah, it's very cool. You could actually find more information about that at Mark Tyler Nobleman's blog, which is noblemania.blogspot.com. Or if you just Google Doodle Bill Finger, it'll probably bring you to that page. And he has his whole case laid out on, like, why this doodle should happen, since 2014 is the 75th anniversary of Batman, the 100th anniversary of the birth of Bill Finger, and the 40th anniversary of the death of Bill Finger. So, yeah, that would be very cool. I actually saw a couple of pages out of that, the Nobleman and Templeton book. I saw that on Ty Templeton's website, and it's actually a really cool-looking book. You can buy that on Amazon right now.
Yeah, I went to it's not on Comixology. I went to check if it was I could buy it digitally. I'm going to check the Apple Store, but if not, I think I'm going to grab it on Amazon, because it sounds like a pretty interesting story. He said he's also working on a documentary. He got rights from Bill Finger's granddaughter, and a really interesting thing that they brought up on the podcast was that Bill Finger also co-created the Golden Age Green Lantern.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. With Martin O'Dell?
Yes. And that Bill Finger's son, turns out he was gay. Mm. And, Finger was aware of this, and from what Nobleman was saying is they had, like, you know, an okay relationship, like, you know, probably good enough for the times that they lived in, you know, like, they weren't estranged or anything, but I'm sure it probably was, you know, something that maybe put some strain on the relationship. But I thought it was really interesting that, you know, the original Alan Scott, I believe coincidentally, you know, after a couple years of stories, his son Obsidian ended up coming out as a gay character.
Right.
And currently, James Robinson, in his relaunch of The Earth Two Characters, made Alan Scott gay. And they were talking, Kevin Smith and Mark were talking about how everyone was up in arms over making this previously straight character gay,
right,
and how his creator would be so upset about it. They're like, in reality, like, you know, this guy had a son who was gay and probably fine with it.
Yeah, that's ironic, and that's cool that that actually has come 360 like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems very fitting. That's really cool. Yeah, I definitely recommend people checking out this book. The two or, you know, the two or four pages, I've seen two like double page spreads from it. It looks very, very cool. I'm very tempted to pick it up from Amazon. And I've seen it at my local comic book store too, so you can probably find it there as well.
True.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of this week's episode. Next week we're going to be talking about more new comics, and we're going to go to in depth on the Earth 2 Annual Number 2. That's such a hard thing to say. Earth 2 Annual Number 2, the origin and identity of the Earth 2 Batman will be revealed, and Dave and I are definitely going to go into depth on this because we both are big fans of the series.
Yes, and I hope it has ramifications of a crossover to the main DC Earth.
Oh, that would be very, very cool. All right, have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next week on Tuesday Night Comics. Say bye, Dave.
Bye.